business cards, you know somebody that needs help, all right, he challenges the answer. Now, we're a men's facility, so some of you might be the first time you're seeing us. We're an adult male versus teen challenge. And also, so you know, about 3 years ago, the women's center that we had in Decatur suspended operations. It's going back online possibly October, November the latest. So if you know adult female that needs help, we're there to be able to service them. It's going to be a car with the bills where it's relocating. That's where the property is. But keep us up in prayer. It's an important time for us. Teen Challenge this year is turning 60 years old as a ministry. And we're in the process of relocating over to Tazewell County to a new facility in, next to Ray Dennison Chevrolet in Beacon. It'll enable us to triple our bed space, provide transitional housing, and enable us a lot better opportunity to give back to the community through school outreach, drug awareness, volunteerism. So keep that up in prayer. We're a few months away, but we're moving in that direction, and we just know God has greater things in store for us. One last thing before I turn it over to Joe and the men. Put October 9th on your calendars. It's coming up soon. Teen Challenge, as I said, is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. That is our annual fall banquet. And just to let you know, in case you've read the cross and switchblade from the history of Teen Challenge, Nicky Cruz is coming in to be our speaker. He was a gang member that did Wilkerson, went down into the streets, got saved, and birthed the first Teen Challenge Center. So he's going to come out and tell his story of what God's done in his life and how Teen Challenge is where it's at today through that one man being saved, the difference it is making today. And it's going to be a great event. You can go to our website, teenchallengepeoria.org, to get tickets. Put it on your calendar, come out and celebrate with us. It's going to be a great evening. We want to share it with you. So come out in full force. And this time we'll turn over to Joe Rogers, our Director of Operations. He'll introduce the men. And just sit back and enjoy the day and have that encounter with God. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm going to assume everybody can hear me well. So we're thankful to be here. We love coming here. As always, we look forward to the fellowship afterwards. Is there anybody here that doesn't know what Teen Challenge is or what we do? We have one young man back there. Okay, well, listen up and you'll find out exactly what we do. I'm going to take a little bit of time. I'm going to talk about the importance of what we do. So you all hear in the news what an epidemic that is going on right now with the opioid epidemic and how serious it is. And so statistics come in, they come in for the previous year. So from January of 16 to January of 17, and they're still coming in, but we lost over 72,000 Americans to fatal drug overdose. To put that in perspective, if you take the two longest wars that we've had here in the United States, the Vietnam conflict and the Afghanistan war, both those wars combined lasted over 30 years. And they lost 78,000 Americans during those wars. That's how serious this is. As the numbers continue to come in, they're coming in higher this year than they did last year. So this thing has not plateaued yet. Teen Challenge is a place where these men can come. It's a safe place. It's a place for them to get the bonds and chains of addictions off of them and start putting away all that old learned behavior and lifestyle and embrace a life with Jesus Christ. So when they come in, they're pretty much broken. A lot of us came in through the criminal justice system where we had pushed our families away. We have lost hope. Really didn't think that we deserved another chance, but praise God, he's a God of many chances. Amen? So these guys come in. It's completely different lifestyle than what they were used to. So for them to get up here and sing to the Lord and glorify him and what he's doing in their lives and share their stories with you, that's a very difficult thing for them. But they're happy to do it. So I think we should put our hands together for them. You know, every man up here, including anybody in a red shirt, We're all products of this program, and I honestly believe that every single one of us was an answered prayer. And prayer is where it starts. Maybe not from us initially, but prayer from our families, our loved ones, other church members. Prayer is what gets us in the door, and that's where it starts. So if you know anybody out there that's struggling with addiction, keep praying for them. Those journals and business cards that are out there, look at those cards like seeds. Give them a card if you know somebody who's struggling with them. You know, we have a... This is Groveland, so this represents rural America. So just by a show of hands real quick, how many of you know somebody personally, either a friend, a family worker, a family member, a coworker, somebody in your community where you've seen the devastation of alcohol or substance abuse? Raise your hands. So you're at about 90%, and this is rural America. That's how serious it is, folks. So know that there's hope. Listen to the stories that these men, their testimonies, they tell you. And you can let somebody know that, you know, if God's willing to do it for us, he's willing to do it for them. Amen? Lord. I'm going to bring up my first testimony, and that's Brother Will.
Hello, church. My name is William Pratt. I'm from Hopedale, Illinois. I'm 22 years old. At a young age, I kind of fell into a bad crowd while my parents were at work all the time. I was drawn into drugs. I was addicted to prescription drugs. As a freshman in high school, I was expelled for using drugs. From there, I went to a military school in Alabama. I came back, and I felt like I had something to prove. So I kind of put my head into studies while still continuing to, you know, involve myself in bad extracurricular activities. I got accepted in the University of Illinois. I was in a fraternity, and when I was this last year, I got in trouble for drugs, and I fell deeper into my mess. I was kicked out of that fraternity. I just kind of lost my way even more. I thought that, you know, once again, I thought that I was in control, not God. I thought that, you know, I could lead my life the way I wanted to, and that I could, you know, fix things. But I ended up in trouble yet again. And while I was in jail, I was really at the lowest, you know, rock bottom, as they'd say. And I was able to get in touch with a member at Teen Challenge, a staff member who had been through a similar situation as I had, and my dad actually was able to get in contact with him, and it seemed too much, you know, to be a coincidence. So and somehow it was pushed through with the courts, and I was able to leave jail. You know, I'm technically on, you know, bond right now, so I'm, you know, still fighting my case. I was able to come here and change my life. I truly believe that, you know, with God's help, I can turn this mistake into something good. I got my family support and everything, and I really appreciate that. I just didn't have much hope when I was in jail. I hope to, you know, finish my degree and you know, maybe help other people, maybe do some type of counseling or some type of you know, community assistance, but I just will keep looking to God and try to push through this program. And I'm blessed to be here, and I truly believe Teen Challenge is changing my life.
Praise the Lord.
When I was in jail, every night and every morning, I read a scripture, and I'll leave you with that scripture now. It's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Everyone needs compassion, a
love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything that I believe in. Now I surrender. Now I surrender.
Savior, I can move the mountains. And let me tell you, that's exactly what He did for every one of us, because we were looking at a mountain that appeared to be unmovable to us. But for His grace and His love is what's got us where we're at today. So I want to talk a little bit about how Teen Challenge works. And, you know, in Ephesians, Paul talks about transformation and what it stems from. And it stems from God working in us through Jesus Christ. Amen? So he talks about four elements there. He talks about the four elements that are necessary for transformation to take place. And the very first element that he speaks about is hearing. Hearing the word of Jesus Christ and hearing the gospel.
Amen.
And that's, you know, some guys have been exposed to it prior to coming in. Some guys haven't. But when they come in, that's the first thing that happens is we start exposing them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They get to hear, most importantly, what he did for us. Because none of us were deserving of that. So we hear what he did for us. We learn about his grace and his love and his promises. And that's where that seed really gets in there. And God takes that and starts watering it, starts working it. The next element that Paul talks about is being taught. And in it, and nowhere else in the text does it say this. It says to learn Christ. So, not learn about Christ, but to learn Christ. So, being taught is different than learning. Being taught is being given that information. So our curriculum is designed to give them the biblical information, the principles, the things that they need to do that go along with what they're hearing. The third element is learn, and that's where we talk about to learn Christ. Learning for us human beings, there's a term, it's called kinesthetic. That means hands-on. That means application. That means being able to take the things that we hear and are taught and actually start applying them to our lives. How many of you have touched the stove one time? Just once, right? And you learned. And that's how this works. They learn to start applying the things that they're heard and taught, and then they get to see the results of Christ working in their life. And when you do that, what that does to our faith is huge. It is a true faith builder.
Amen.
And when they take those three elements and apply them to their life, then they come to know the truth that lies in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to bring up my next testimony, and that is Brother
Sean.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sean Bentley. I'm 22 years old from Beardstown, Illinois, and I'd like to take a minute to tell you about what God has done in my life. See, back in 96, I was born. I was the product of a one-night stand between two drug-addicted parents who liked to party more than they liked to be parents. But luckily, at about 2 months old, a man came into my life. It's my stepfather, and I believe he was sent by God because of what he's done for me and what he brought me out of. 2 months, two months old, my stepfather came into my life, and he was with me till I was about 5 years old, and that's when he met my stepmother, and I had good parents growing up, but all through high school, I was a good kid, but I about 18 years old, the same year I graduated high school, 2014, my grandmother died, and it was about the same time that I decided I could do what I want. And I started drinking and partying with my friends. And my father told me, you know, he kind of warned me against it. He told me I was hanging out with the wrong crowd. And I didn't really listen to him. I thought, you know, I'd be all right. It's just a little drinking. Well, drinking led into smoking a little bit of pot. And then that led into partying even harder. And I was running around with some girls that I shouldn't have been. And I had their best interest in, you know, wanted to make them my wife eventually one day, but they didn't have my best interest at heart. And so it, you know, kind of just led me down further down the wrong path. Let's see. I had several good jobs throughout my drug addiction, and I lost them all. My last job, I was actually working for Ameren, and I blew a $30 an hour job over wanting to get high. And, you know, so that's a disappointment in my life. But since coming to Teen Challenge, I'm no longer depressed, I find. I found a new sense of hope, which I didn't really have before. I didn't really think that I could ever be anything more than a drug addict, but luckily God showed me his grace, and I'm coming around. I've never really been in a church background, but, you know, through faith and discernment, I'm finding myself getting there. My closing verse, Psalm 66:16. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me.
I smile because that was amazing, because that's Sean's first time ever getting up in front of a bunch of people. So, you could almost see the butterflies around him, like, no, good job, Sean. Very proud of you. So, you know, these guys come in broken when they come in. And if I could keep you here all day to listen to every one of their stories, because I know it, I would. Because it truly glorifies what God's doing in their life what we perceive to be an impossible situation. But with God, nothing's impossible. Amen? Amen. You know, the residual effect that Teen Challenge has, you know, you're seeing one man's life being changed here. But the residual effect to that and the reality of that is this young man's going to complete this program. He's going to go back out to the community. And when he gets back out there, he's now going to be productive. He's going to be a taxpayer, a consumer. He's going to be living a life and testifying as a Christian, not just by his mouth, but by his actions and how he lives, which is a testimony and an example to others. And we need that today more than ever. The other big factor is this, is some of them are fathers. Some of them are not, but will be. And those horrible, horrible statistics that I talked to you about earlier, what we're doing is we're negatively impacting the next generation. And if we don't turn things around, it's only going to get worse. And when that one man's life is changed and he becomes those things that I'm telling you about, he will become that godly father. And he will lead his family and he'll lead his children. And that is how we'll win this thing. Amen? So, you know, for a lot of us, including myself, you know, we get this foundation put under us. This is our time and our season to do that. So we put that foundation under us for when we get out. And how many of you know that for sure there's storms of life? It doesn't matter whether we went to a program. It doesn't matter whether we go to church faithfully. Life is full of storms. And it's that foundation that we put under ourselves that enable us to persevere those storms. And, you know, for myself as an example, coming through this program, it changed my life immensely. I myself was facing 16 years in prison when I walked through the doors. And I truly was hopeless. And I felt like I had ruined my family's life. And I thought that life was over. But through his grace and mercy, I was allowed to come to this program and change my life. And when I walked through the door, I was just sick and tired enough to lay it all down. And that's what I did. And even though I went through the program, you know, not that doesn't mean that our trouble went away. It means that we're taking responsibility for what we did. And the only way that we can truly repent from it is to take responsibility from it, acknowledge it, and do something different. And so having come through the program, even though I graduated in Peoria because I had legal battles that didn't allow me to move on, and I jokingly say that I spent all my time in Peoria, and that's why Pastor Randy and I look so much alike. But I was thankful for my time there. And when I got done, I still had to go to prison. I went for 12 more months. But that was a blessing compared to the 16 that I was looking at when I walked through the door. And I wasn't sure why God allowed that to happen. But in hindsight, I understand it, because it truly spoke to people that thought maybe I came into this program to get out of trouble. And I didn't. I came here to change my life. And so allowing me to go on with that spoke to other people that said, you know what, I didn't get out of trouble, but I still stood firm in my faith in Jesus Christ. The other part of that is when I went to that environment, and it's not a very good environment, I took that foundation with me and the intent to try and make a difference and stay positive in it. And whether or not I did, I don't know. But I know that it was my faith that got me through that. So having established that foundation, in fact, it was September 17th. I was about 50 days away from being released, and the storm of storms hit. It wasn't visiting day. My wife, I got called up front, kind of made me a little anxious because I knew it wasn't visiting day. And I get up there, and that was where my wife had to tell me that I'd lost my 24-year-old son to a heroin overdose. That, for me, was the storm of storms. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of time to grieve that together. And I was still had to stay in that environment. And when I went back to my cell, I really struggled with my faith. Because I thought to myself, God, you know, I went through all of this to have this happen. And I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And I really struggled with my faith and really had it out with him. And he spoke to my heart, and is what he said was this, is, you know, it was pure evil that took my son. It wasn't God. But what what he did do for me was teach me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was because of that foundation that I had put under me that I was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with my son. And in spite of his addiction, in spite of his mental health issues, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. So for me, it wasn't goodbye. It was I'll see you later, because I know the end of the book. And it is because of that foundation, it was the only reason that I'm able to deal with that. Moving forward, though, he has given me an opportunity to take that thing that the devil meant for so bad and do something different with it and glorify him in it. And that puts it on my heart to do what I do today, because I know what it's like to walk through the doors of Teen Challenge as a student. I know what it's like to feel hopeless as someone in addiction. Moreover, I know what it's like to be a parent who lives in fear of losing their loved one. And he's taken all of that and given me the opportunity to serve him and try and make a difference. Having said that, one of the first things that I see God do when these families bring their loved ones in, because they are hopeless, and as addicts, we do our very best to push people away and break relationships. And when they come in with their loved one and they're sitting in front of me, the first thing that I get to see God do is reestablish hope in that family unit. And I see the literal amble of weight lifted off of these parents and these loved ones as they leave their individual in the care of Teen Challenge. And I would even venture to say that that night, they probably have slept better that one evening than they have the whole previous time before. Amen. I'm going to bring up my next testimony, and that's Brother Cody.
Hello, everyone. My name is Cody Kennedy. I was born and raised in DuQuoin, Illinois, and I'm 28 years old. The story starts when I was very young. I was raised by my mother and my grandparents. I never knew who my real father was. The only thing I knew about him was his name and what he looked like. So my grandfather was my father figure growing up. He taught me a lot of valuable life lessons that I still use today. And one of them that has always stuck with me until to this day. When I was 7, I was out fishing with him one day. And out of nowhere, he turned over and looked at me and he said, "Son, Don't bite at the bait of pleasure until you know there's no hook beneath it. I didn't really understand what he was talking about, but about 20 some odd years later, I look back and I know exactly what he was talking about. But growing up, I was raised Baptist. I went to church. I went to vacation Bible school. I was doing everything that, you know, my mom thought I was supposed to be doing. And everything seemed peachy. But what a lot of people didn't realize is that I had a severe problem with authority. I didn't like being told what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And I saw God as another authoritative figure. I thought God was just a controlling authoritative figure. It was something else that I had to obey, and I actually rebelled against God. I didn't like anything about Christianity, what it stood for. It was all very confusing to me, and it all didn't really make much sense. Growing up, when I was 12 years old, I started drinking alcohol, started smoking marijuana. And if that wasn't bad enough, at about 14 and a half years old, I started injecting methamphetamine into my body. That's when my life really started spiraling out of control. During that time, my grandfather also passed away. And that hit me down to the core. For the next 11 years, I was associating myself with satanic occultism. I was taking part in some very vulgar and disturbing things. During this time, I was living in an utter state of complete depression, despair, and dread. I was seeking happiness through the means of alcohol, drugs, sex, gambling, and other worldly desires. I was living with this void in me. I felt empty inside. It was like a never-ending craving that I was trying to fulfill. No matter how much of something I had, or how much of something I used, or how much I did it, how long I've done it, I can never fill this emptiness that I felt inside of me. And the result of my actions ended up in multiple incarcerations, hospitalizations, homelessness, and losing all credibility and support completely from my family and my friends around me. That was when I hit rock bottom. Something I usually say is sometimes you find yourself in the middle of nowhere, and sometimes in the middle of nowhere you find yourself. I found myself in the middle of the woods. I had about a pint of vodka in one hand. I'd been drinking for about 2 or 3 days straight, not eating, and I had a pocket knife in the other hand. And I'm pretty sure you can all guess what I planned on doing with that pocket knife. At that moment in time, my life has become so low, and I was so far down in the pit of darkness that death didn't seem like such a bad idea after all. What came over me, it's hard to describe into words what happened. It was like I lost control of my arm, and something compelled me to drop that knife. And I heard something, a small, still voice, speak to what I call my soul. It said, "Cody, you are not a lost cause." Amen. During all those times that I thought that I was being punished for who I was. Because after all, I was thinking, how would a God so loving, so forgiving, and so merciful let all this happen to an individual like me? And it dawned on me, during my whole life, that I thought I never had a father in my life, I actually always had a father in my life. He was just waiting for me to come to him. And despite all the horrible things that I've done, despite cursing God to his face and living an entire life of sin, he still welcomed me with open arms. And that was a love that I have never experienced before. Yeah, it was a life-changing moment. since that day, I gave my life to Christ. My perspective on life has changed. I now see things from a different point of view. I'm more of an optimist. A pessimist sees a difficulty in every opportunity, but an optimist sees an opportunity in every difficulty. So now when I'm faced with trials and temptations in life, I know that I can overcome anything that comes across me because God will never put anything in my life that I cannot handle. That's all the motivation and inspiration I need to get through life. I realize that now all those years were not punishment, it was preparation for days like today that I can stand before you all as living proof that no matter how far down in the pit of darkness you are, no matter how depressed you are, no matter how hopeless, helpless, worthless you feel, and no matter how much pain you have or how much pain you're going through, that God will provide a way out for you just as he has provided a way out for me. Amen. Some of the goals that I have now have also changed. Coming to this program, you know, this program gives me the structure, the discipline, and the consistency that I need to establish in my life to further my walk in the Spirit. I'm a work in progress, but I will probably for always be a work in progress. The key word is progress. Moving forward, I'm no longer dwelling on the past anymore. Some of the goals I have, I want to start a new career. I want to stay clean and sober. I've been clean and sober for about 6 months now, and I'm gaining healthy weight. Thank you. Thank you. I've been gaining healthy weight. I want to raise a family, if God willing. Another thing God is teaching me is patience. So therefore, instead of trying to find the right woman, I'm just going to focus on being the right man. Also, I also want to help those who are lost in the world, those who are also suffering from addiction, those who are lost in the pit of despair, that are completely hopeless and helpless and just thinks that they are thrown away. I want to show them that there is a way out. God will provide for them. I believe God is salvaging me. And salvage means to make use of something that was once considered junk or trash. So it's a complete 180. I want to help those lost in the world. I want to help pull a brother or sister out of that darkness. My ultimate goal in life, above all else, to bring honor and glory back to the one who makes this all possible for me. With that, I will leave you with a closing verse. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Thank you, and God bless you all. I walk upon salvation.
what can I say? What can I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So what can I say? What can I do? Offer this heart, oh God.
Psalms 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. And whom shall I fear? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, they all stumbled and fell. An army may encamp against me. A war may rise against me. But in this I stand confident. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for all my days."
So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned. In awe of the one who gave it all, so I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high, heart abandoned. In awe of the one who gave it all, so I'll stand. My soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. So I'll stand with all my heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand. So Lord, you surrender all I am is yours. Jesus, all I am is yours.
I kind of shifted things here a little bit because I wanted to try and get as many testimonies as I could in, and we were going to do three and three songs, but I've got a little bit of time here, so I want you to be able to hear another story from one of these men. So I'm going to call up Brother Tanner for his testimony. Brother Tanner.
Hello, church. I'm Tanner Bainter. I'm 25. I'm from Macomb, Illinois. My story starts when I was 7 years old. My mother passed from leukemia. I never had a dad. Kind of like Sean said, you know, my parents hooked up one night at a party with no intention of being together. And I was a product of that situation. From what I was told, my dad didn't want my mom to have me, and, you know, she made the decision to keep me. So that was a blessing. I mean, that was God, nothing short of a miracle. So my whole life, I never had a mom or a dad. After my mom passed, I went to go live with my aunt, her sister. And from there, I was getting passed back and forth through the family. I was really hard to control. I had an authority problem, like Brother Cody said. I felt that if my parents weren't there to tell me what to do, then nobody was going to tell me what to do. And that led to multiple incarcerations, multiple institutions, multiple rehabs, multiple relationships. Just everything in my life, I was a tornado, just wrecked everything, tore through everything, left a path of destruction my whole life. Let's see, so getting passed back and forth through my family, no one really knew what to do. So I had a best friend growing up, and his parents got a divorce. You know, he was going through some stuff in his house. You know, I was going through stuff in my house. We bonded and stuff, and you know, we both really good athletes, things like that. His mom actually, she came home from school one day and she found her mother passed, or she died on the couch. She found her mom, and she had a really she had a soft spot in her heart for me. And she ended up taking me in. She adopted me, you know, became my legal guardian. I lived with them for a long time. And as you can imagine, I mean, I ruined that situation also. You know, they became my family and stuff, but drinking and drugs and girls were more important. So that situation fell through. By the grace of God, I graduated high school through all that. So shortly after high school, I met a girl. I had two beautiful girls. Amen. I don't know, it's kind of hard to talk about. I feel like Joe said, I mean, the devil, what he meant for evil, God has turned that for good. He took my mom. My dad didn't want to be there, but he replaced both of those people with my daughters. And that's what it's all about for me. And the me getting my life straight so I don't keep negatively affecting them in their life, so that way I can be a good dad.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
That's right.
So with that, I'll leave you with a closing verse. Psalm 16:8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord, for he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Like I said, I know every one of their stories, and that, even though I know of God's amazing power, I'm still in awe every day of his amazing love and what he does. So, you know, when I talked about those horrible statistics earlier, and it just dawned on me as I was looking at the men up here, those numbers translate to 13 people an hour. That means in the length of time of the service, they're gone. That's how serious this is. You know, God, I think when we were here last year, we spoke about our new property, or the last time we were here. And so we acquired that property, and we're moving forward with the renovations, like Pastor said. It's turned into about a $500,000 project. And we're trying to get it done for about $225,000. But this is what it's going to do, folks. It's going to allow us to triple the number of men that we serve. So hopefully next year when we're here, you guys can start a capital campaign and build us a bigger stage. But that's three times the number of lives impacted. On top of that, there's going to be 10 apartments upstairs that we're going to start a transitional reentry program in. And that's for guys that have completed, can come back, and they want a new start. Because, you know, going back to the land of familiar is a very dangerous place, because that's where all the old business is. And so this is an opportunity for them to come back, live in a Christian environment with accountability and rules and structure, and we'll help them get a job, go to school, get a driver's license, do the things that they need to do to get that good, solid start. And slowly transition back to the community, as opposed to being in this bubble for 13 months and saying thank you, back to a world that hasn't changed. This gives them an opportunity to really sturdy up. And so like Pastor said, the next few months are going to be crucial. There is a ton of work there. In fact, we were there all day yesterday with a volunteer group, getting a lot accomplished. Tractor was beating my butt to death. But we're here, and we're sharing it with you. This is the thing. We're at this point because of people like you. Amen. And the only way that we're going to get to where we need to be is because of people like you. We cannot do this without you, and you're God's people, and we're all the same body. And together is how we're going to do this. So keep us up in prayer. If you think that you have the ability to volunteer or give wisdom, do whatever. It's going to take every aspect and every facet of everybody's ability to get this done. So please contact us. And then by all means, please continue to financially support us, because unfortunately, money makes the world go round, and that's how this is going to get done. Amen. I want to thank you for having us. I'm going to call Pastor up for the offering. And we're looking forward to the potluck, especially me, because I didn't have breakfast this morning. So thanks for having us. God bless you all.